Hello, and welcome to the Talented Amateurs Podcast. My name is Joe Randolph, your host, and today we have Melissa McKee. She is the General Manager for D1 Training Facility. D1 is a state-of-the-art training facility where they offer one-on-one training, group activities that encourage goal setting, and an environment that promotes achievement. They work with athletes across the spectrum from amateur status to professional athletes and the weekend warrior. And today we're going to talk with Melissa today about just her role at D1 facility, but then also some of the other aspects of her life as a trainer, as a professional. And I think we'll be able to get a few gems on, or not to, with pun intended, but just get a few ticks and trips and ticks around how we can continue to elevate our lives physically, mentally, and spiritually as well. So let's get started. Melissa, how are you doing today? And welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Really glad to have you. I know, as I usually refer to you as Coach Melissa, you know, as you were one of the coaches at Orange Theory who always kicked my butt. You know, I know I was always a slacker in the class, but, you know, I think as I've seen you transition over into this new role, really, really have enjoyed just kind of observing from afar your excitement in this new role and in this new space, and really want to hear more about that journey. So maybe as we get started, just tell us a little bit more about who you are, your background, where you're from, and let's go from there.
Of course. So 35-year-old health and fitness enthusiast, I think is what I'd call myself. Born in California, but grew up in Reno. I've always kind of been drawn to youth, even like towards the end of my high school years, going into starting college, just helping out with the youth programs, did some externships in like pediatrics, just trying to find my niche, started pursuing a criminal justice degree, but focusing on juvenile corrections. Moved to Las Vegas to continue that, where I signed up at a gym. This is kind of where the fitness aspect comes into it. Didn't know anybody in Vegas, signed up there, got a trainer, and fell in love with fitness. Immediately changed my degree to kinesiology, pursued that, obtained my kines bachelor's there, and started my fitness journey. We all know the market kind of crashed and jobs was hard at that time. So I ended up in a job that was not fitness related at all, preclinical services actually. And I think I was there for about 5 years and just wasn't content with what I was doing. And that's kind of where fitness came back around. And I'm so glad it did.
Very good. So you're now the general manager at D1 training facility. Talk to us about what your role is as GM and what are some of the main areas of focus. Obviously you moved from being more as a trainer to now more of a more of administrative manager role. So talk to us more about your transition into this role. What are your main focus areas and how is it going so far?
Well, a couple weeks in, so I could say it's going well so far. So as a new business, we're just trying to create brand awareness, right? We have a new concept in bringing it to Reno and just really trying to provide our youth in general. We do everyone, including adults, but really focusing on trying to build up our youth community athletes, like give them a platform to use to continue on with their sports from school through life, you know, especially right now with COVID and a lot of the community just being at a standstill as far as activity level. We want to be that resource for them to, you know, get moving again and just help out health-wise and mentally and physically.
Why the Reno market? Obviously, you know, D1 facility has locations across the nation. What was it about Reno for them to want to establish a location in this area?
Because we don't have it. I think if you go right next door to California, I don't know if you've been in sports as far as on the West Coast, California is a different breed, right? Reno, we're not on their level, but we can be. We have so many talented athletes here, but we just didn't have something to offer them. I would say that's one of the biggest comments I've gotten from parents in the last 3 weeks is, man, I wish I had this when I was a kid. It's just something that Reno hasn't had. And I think we definitely had the need for it. So.
And so you obviously you work with the youth. What kind of activities do you work with them? Are these athletes that are at the stage where they're going to probably go on to the next level, college, and then maybe some in professional career? And then what sports do you guys focus on?
So we actually cater to all, anywhere from age 7 to 70, right? We do group training, one-on-one training, and then like you kind of mentioned, sports specific. So all of our programming is designed by a panel. It's based off of people from USC, LSU, Ohio State. So all of our programming circles around 8 weeks. And it's just geared more towards like specific programming so that we can build up our athletes, not just keep them active, but actually like improve their skills. And it doesn't matter what type of sport they are in. And if they're looking for even more than that, they do coach one-on-ones, and we have a variety of coaches. I think that's helps us stand out too, whether you're looking for push power or we have rotational coaches. You name the skill you want to improve, and we got it. Vertical coach working on your hops, got that too. So
now I know you and I chatted about just you guys focus on tried and true methods in terms of training. In the gym promotes a results-driven training facility. What does that mean, and what makes D1 unique in terms of the types of training that they provide? Because you see all these exotic types of workouts. I follow this one trainer on Instagram, and she's doing leg raises for abs on the side of a yacht and all these crazy workouts. But you know, what is it unique about D1, and what does results-driven training facility mean?
I think, well, results driven, everybody wants to see results, right? I think our unique aspect is the whole 8 week programming. It's all, you know, designed, tried, tested by athletes. There's no question you're going to get results. Half of it, the battle is just walking through the door, right? And then on top of that, all of the coaching staff being so skilled in their sports. I mean, we have umpteen million degrees, but people from sports backgrounds, pro athletes on our staff to basically get whatever goal you're looking for. I mean, one of our mottos is you pick the goal and we'll help you get there. And we stand back by that.
And as you guys have started to establish roots in here, I know you mentioned a few people said, hey, I wish I had this when I was younger. In terms of your clients, as you're working on some of these tailored coaching and training methods, what is some of the feedback that you're getting, you know, additional feedback that you're getting, and what kind of responses are you getting from the community that you're working with?
I would say a lot is just the community aspect that it creates in general, right? Kids actually getting kids together in a group, even especially these days, is huge. But a couple of the things that we do that I think has been missing from training for quite some time is mobility work and injury prevention, right? So all of our classes are gonna incorporate that. You have your dynamic warm up, and you're also working on injury prevention, being an athlete, whether you know you're looking to pursue at a collegiate pro level or you're just looking to stay fit and healthy, you have to incorporate injury prevention. I myself having back injury, learned the hard way not doing it. So I think that's something that is definitely needed, and we're able to provide for everyone.
Now, obviously, with everyone being a little bit more stationary throughout the pandemic over the past year, what are some of the changes as you've seen in the training needs for maybe not the athletes who are more on that going to college and professional, but more so the weekend warrior like myself? I know as I became more stationary working from home, I noticed just in my running where I'm starting to get injuries that I didn't get before when I was able to work out and have variety in my fitness and in my training, but I'm also sitting more for longer periods of the day. What have you seen in terms of some of the changes in the training needs of some of those weekend warriors? And what would you suggest as we have more of a stationary lifestyle these days? What would you suggest we can continue to do as we work from home over probably the next year as well?
Oh, mobility work. That's going to be like huge, right? We spend the end of every workout, doing a little bit of stretching, band work, continuing that when you're at home, right? So you can get up and get out of bed the next day. A lot of our coaches are even, I mean, we're pretty close. We're like a family, even though we've only been open a couple weeks, getting cell numbers. I'll send you a video. What do you want to work on? What's your job entail? Anything just to kind of help prevent injuries, right? It's going to benefit not only like us as a company to be able to stay open, but the community in general. We want you guys being able to function even when you're not with us. So I think that's something everyone in the community can do, whether it's just like 3 minutes of stretching every day or,
How are you able to adjust to some of the COVID protocols? Obviously, gyms was one of those areas that got hit the hardest. I know I haven't been to an actual physical gym in a year, and I was going to two gyms, Orange Theory, as you and I met, and then also another gym in the local area. But how are you guys adjusting to the COVID protocols and being able to manage point to point as it shifts and mandates come down from the city and from the state?
It's definitely causing some difficulties, I would say, but nothing that's not manageable, right? We would love to be offering at over 25% capacity, but I mean, take what you can get, right? So maximize the amount of times, getting people in there, masks, it's mandated, and people are pretty understanding about it. Nobody wants to be in a mask working out for an hour, right? But if that's what you have to do in order to get that activity, you'd be surprised. We haven't had any pushback from members, and the staff is all there to support it. Just continuing the sanitizing, bringing in, you know, we clean. Daily all throughout the day, and then bring in nightly crews to deep clean. And it's just, I think, making the most of what you can while whatever restrictions get passed down, there's nothing you can really change about it. Right. So,
right. Yeah. And I think it's tough, particularly, and I was telling you, is, you know, someone that's been a gym rat all my life, not being able to go to a physical gym, I think it's just a different experience, a different mentality that you have when you're able to go into a physical space, and you can even tell based on the kind of results that you get with your body. And so I'm longing for the day that I can actually get into a gym and work out and just do something different other than just run. And I love running, but you know, it's nothing like just being in the gym. Now, one of the questions I wanted to just kind of ask you, as I mentioned earlier, as you move to this general manager role, more as the management and administrative space, what's been that shift for you where you've been, and maybe you're still hands-on with clients and training, but how are you adjusting this new role being more on the administrative and the leadership side versus being able to actually touch people and interact with them?
It's definitely trying at times. I will say my passion is helping people. I do see that I still am, you know, being able to, like, managing people and knowing all the members, and I do still have that touch. But you know, we have to take care of ourselves, right? I've heard that saying, you got to put your mask on first if the plane's going down, if in order to help everyone else. So that's essentially kind of where I took the manager role and having a pretty serious surgery and needing my body to recover. Like, this allowed me to stay in fitness, which means like the world to me, and have an impact on people, maybe not directly, but indirectly. So I think that in itself is enough for me.
Awesome. Yeah. And I know sometimes that adjustment can be major, particularly when you're so used to being hands-on with people. And I know, you know, it's always, you know, something that you can always continue to do is go back into training and do that as well. What would you, if you had maybe one or two things that we could do as just weekend warriors, just to keep our fitness at a level where I call it the, you know how you get the freshman 15? I call it the COVID 15. How can we just keep the COVID 15 off of us as we are sitting in the house and trying to figure out these different workouts?
You know, the funny, I actually just heard, not even just physical wise, but mentally and on a hormone level, 20 minute walk outside. Sounds silly, right? But it can do so much for your health mentally, physically. So that has been one that I've initiated myself. So definitely that, get moving. Water, I can't tell you how many times I preached, just get that water in. It's going to help so much, as not even just being active, building muscle, but your recovery, right? If you are that weekend warrior and you're working out, you're not going to be building anything if you don't have enough hydration going on.
Absolutely. And that's, it's odd because a lot of people don't understand how much hydration factors into not just their workouts, it's just their overall health. And, you know, people always say you need to get your water in, but until you actually get hurt. And I know some of my injuries that came as a result of lack of hydration. And so it's just a constant of trying to make sure I maintain my water and my hydration level. So those are pretty key. So thanks for sharing those. One of the things, you know, as you think about just your transition, and you said you was working in a lab before, what has been that transition been like? We talked about just you being a trainer, moving into the leadership side of the business, but you moved from a totally different industry while you were still doing training as well, part-time. But how has that shift been as you've moved from one career into a totally new one, which was already in your swim lane, but how was that transition been going?
I mean, obviously anything new is scary, right? So going from being in a secure preclinical environment to something that I would say doesn't provide like health insurance benefits, all that nature, was a huge jump for me, but I don't regret it. One of the things that I can tell everyone is everyone has a passion for something, right? And you find it, you got to pursue it. It makes a huge difference. I mean, mentally, physically, happiness in general. So that was the big jump for me, was, you know what, I'm going to try it. What's worst case, it doesn't work out, then you'll know, right?
What, and you talk about risk, I think, I always say you have to disrupt your life every now and then, because just like working out, and you never really see the results until you go through that stress and you are able to push past, you know, the fatigue. And it's the same thing with life and with careers. So you have to disrupt it in order for you to get out of your comfort zone. So I'm glad that you were able to share that. And speaking of just getting out of your comfort zone and disrupting your life, You competed in, you know, fitness competitions, and I know this journey is one of those that is very taxing on the body, is taxing on the mindset, and it's also just taxing on your spirit and just being able to maintain. Can you just talk to us about your journey and their process, the commitment, the discipline, and the mental approach? A lot of people, they see the end result of competitions, particularly when they see these athletes and they're in the actual competition, but they never see, I call it, we never see them chopping wood and how they get there. So talk to us about that journey, because we'd love to understand how that learning, that discipline, that experience, how we can continue to apply that just to our daily lives and in terms of our careers, our workouts, and, you know, just how we go about moving the dial from one end of the spectrum to the next?
Well, I'd say the shows for me was actually a bucket list item. I was something I just thought I wanted to try and do. And like you mentioned, it touches so many things. I had no idea the mental aspect behind it. Commitment was huge. It requires a whole nother level of discipline. I ended up hiring a coach, because while I do know fitness and I do know, you know, nutrition, you need guidance, right? Physically, mentally was where the guidance really came in. You know, those days you don't want to go do cardio, you don't want to eat right, you want to do all the opposite. You need that support system. I think that's huge. And I mean, even in day-to-day life right now, right, where a trainer can make or break you, right? Hopefully the make part. I think one of the funniest things was, like, for being a female, you think you know how to walk in heels, not for a show. You're thinking about all the other things, how your muscles are going to look or whatnot. I luckily had a very good coach that helped out with the mental aspect of it, you know, really kind of owning in on progress, not perfection. You know, everyone's going to have a different thought, a different idea, and you just have to stay focused, tried and true on what you know. You know, being female, we tend to focus on the scale. What does the number on scale say? How do you look? How are you going to look on stage? But I think one of the sayings that my coach said to me that like really stuck out was, when you're up on stage, is that judge going to ask you, how much do you weigh? Absolutely not, right? How do you feel? And that was a huge walkaway nugget I got from you know, just doing the show. You know, you're putting in all this time and discipline and for what, you know? You gotta own in on that mental.
How long does it take to train for a competition?
I'd say like most are around like 12 weeks at least, 12, 16, depending. And not that you can't do it alone, but man, that mental aspect is huge. So finding even just a friend maybe to do some kind of competition with you just to help out in that aspect so that you can get in all your workouts, get in all your meals. I mean, timing is crucial, making sure you're eating every couple hours.
And were you doing this while you were working full time?
Yes. Yeah. That was when I was at the lab, which can be, I mean, if you have any concept of lab work, you're in the back in scrubs and there's no stopping for a meal break or whatnot. Right. So.
How did you balance that? Like how many times a day did you have to work out, and how did you do that working a full-time job? It seems like, you know, just training for a competition, it would be almost like a full-time job in itself. So how was that balance?
It definitely was. It was we'd sit down and write out a schedule. All right, cardio in the morning at this time, work all day, come in and lift at this time. Is it doable? Absolutely. I think if we can all think back to like school day, like you go to college, what did you do? You were going almost 24/7, but did you ever stop and think like, oh, it's too much, I can't fit all that in my day? No, you just did it, right?
Yeah, so that's a good point. And so as you've gone through that process, how do you apply some of those learnings now in your day-to-day? Do you still, you know, apply some of the learnings from that process?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the trying to make things more of a lifestyle and not just like a quick fix, right? Oh, I'm going to do this for the end result. No, why are you working out?
And when you say lifestyle, a lot of people don't understand that. When you talk about lifestyle and fitness, what does that mean? Can you maybe explain that to us? And how do you, when we say we need to make it a lifestyle and not just for a targeted goal, what does that mean?
Kind of like I work out every day because not for a look. It's more so I want to be here next week. And I know that feeding my body and working it out continually, it's going to help me be that much stronger to battle the, you know, day-to-day battles that get thrown at you, whether it's mental, can be stress. I mean, stress is a huge weight. And just exercising it alone can up your immune system, right? So why wouldn't you want to kind of continuously increase that?
Yeah, and I would say, you know, while we've been in this pandemic and, you know, just stuck in the house, I always say you can find, you know, learnings from any situation. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned from COVID or some of the things that I realized that are good changes or are good aha moments is not only is it the technology elements of, you know, where we know we can now work from home. We know we can do things in video. We don't have to fly all over the country. But I think the one thing that it has highlighted is the importance of being physically, being in shape and having a much more healthier lifestyle, particularly as you see some of the people that have unfortunately succumbed to COVID or had more the worst end of getting sick with COVID is it also attributes to lifestyle and health and being able to take care of yourself and making sure that you're maintaining a healthy lifestyle, water, vitamins and just making sure you get the right amount of nutrients. Is there something that you've been able to advise as you've worked with athletes and clients on the importance of paying attention to these trends? Or is that something that just when you, the athletes you're working with, this is something they're naturally doing anyway? And since they're younger, either way, I know they're pretty healthy as well.
Surprisingly enough, a lot of them are all about their water, which is a shocker to me. I think just the importance of being active, they do it for fun, which let's keep it that way, but just kind of instilling that we want to keep that continuous, right, for a reason, and just keep them moving the most we can. With COVID, we don't really have control over that, but you could always still get outside. And I mean, as a parent, assisting with that in any way is huge.
Now, with your competition, I didn't ever ask you this, but where did you place? Did you win? Did you come in first? And when is the next competition?
Funny enough, I actually had multiple battles with my coach about placing because I, as I mentioned, I did it as a bucket list thing. I didn't want a trophy. I just wanted to feel good to do it, right? I placed fourth and fifth because I did it two different categories. So I did come home with some medal.
Okay. Out of how many participants?
Nevada, it was Nevada State. So there's quite a few. I honestly don't remember the count, but there's always a lot of bikini competitors.
Well, fourth and fifth, that's pretty good, right? Really good out of a large group.
It was nice. It was
okay. So nothing where you wanted to keep this, you know, keep it going and have multiple competitions. What made you stop?
No. It was a good bucket list item. Like you mentioned, the commitment and dedication, that's kind of, that was part of the reason I just wanted to see, you know, what it's all about, just for an experience level, right? You know, being a trainer, you want to try all the things so that you are relatable to a client that comes to the door that maybe wants to train for a show, or you're able to speak on that in all levels.
Okay. And that's a good point, you know, particularly as you are, you know, obviously hiring and looking at trainers and bringing in different trainers. What do you look for? I mean, obviously you got to have the certifications and just some of the things on paper, but what do you look for in trainers that you may not get on paper, but is something that, you know, would just, this person would be a great coach, great trainer, great leader. So what are those things that you look for when you do hire new trainers into the facility?
Well, experience is huge, right? We have a couple coaches that have played at the collegiate and pro level. And that's, I mean, they definitely know the experience, right? They know what it's like being at a D1 school or going through, you know, the endless conditioning over the summer. Something that athletes can relate to, you know, that was the example I was using for doing the show. And I think the same thing applies to the coaches that we have, being able to, you know, give those modifications or provide that specific programming someone may want for like one-on-one. Maybe they're looking to fine tune their football skills. You know, we want to be able to provide that to them.
Yeah. And I noticed athletes are more specializing in sports. I know when I was coming up, I played multiple sports. And then when I got to college, obviously I only played one sport, but you're starting to see more specialization in athletes and they're getting training year round where back when I was coming up, we worked out, we lifted weights, but training is so much different now. As you mentioned, the band work, the mobility work, and athletes are bigger, faster, stronger than they were years ago also. And I that's one of the things that I've noticed, just, you know, just watching and seeing athletes and comparing it to when I was coming through high school and college as an athlete. And it's tremendous on the amount of training and resources they have to be able to get to the next level.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it's really cool to see though. I think that's one of the trends that has taken flight over the last like 10 years I've been in fitness, is just the different style of training for the athletes. But
How is Reno as a fitness community in general? I've come from, you know, where I'm from, you know, coming from Charlotte, which was a huge fitness community. How is Reno in comparison to, you come from Vegas? Obviously, it's hard to compare to California. California is a totally different beast. But how is Reno as a fitness community in your book?
You know, I think it's kind of a hidden gem. Like, I think us bringing D1 to Reno is going to be a big eye opener. I mean, we already working with a couple athletes right now, being like one of the number one running backs in the nation, already signed to Sac State. A couple people training for their pro combine. You know, I think there's so many potential, or already not even potential, true athletes here that just need a place to train, need some platform to help, you know, get their name out there. Reno has it. I think it's just hidden.
So hopefully that for them. Okay, good stuff. And I know Reno has the entire outdoors theme. And if you can survive the snow and the cold, you know, during the wintertime, and also being able to get through the humidity, which I'm not the humidity, but the altitude here, which is another one, which I know I'm glad I'm finally getting to a place where I can run and manage some of the altitude. And I noticed that difference when I do go to lower elevations. But that's pretty good to hear, though, that you guys are able to attract that level of athlete and working with that caliber of athlete as well. So very good.
Yeah, I think that's one of our main goals, like just for, you know, bringing D1 to Reno, or just this new year in general is, you know, being able to put the Reno athletes on the map, as well as provide, you know, that health and wellness aspect to the community that's here in general. You know, being able to do all at once is huge.
Now, are you guys planning to partner with like the University of Nevada, Reno, and some of their athletic programs, or maybe even some of the programs that are right across the board in the Bay Area that are close in any way?
We've talked about it. We're looking, I mean, we do have other projects, you know, including member events, youth camps, community involvement. It's just right now kind of dependent on restrictions and capacity of events with COVID and whatnot, but definitely something that is hopefully tentative for later this year.
Okay, very good. So as we kind of think about going into this year, obviously we're starting the beginning of the year. What are some of the big projects or initiatives that you guys are working on at D1 and you as general manager? What are some of the things you're going to be focused on this year?
Well, like I mentioned, like hopefully running some youth camps is ideal, right? So that season that would have been going will be up and being able to be that outlet. So whether it's, you know, running a couple youth football camps so that they're able to own in on their skills while the season's up, getting out, doing community events. I know there's a local DJ who does every year something where we get all the local fitness industry gyms here together and kind of just do something for the community. We're looking at getting in on that. Anything to just kind of, you know, grow awareness and help out the community health-wise.
Awesome. Very good. So as we kind of begin to wrap up, I always like just to leave the audience, you know, three things before we go. And I know you've been able to give us a few gems as we've kind of gone through this discussion. But if there was anything that, if they don't take anything from this conversation, what are three things that you would leave the audience with before we wrap up?
Well, being the health and fitness guru I am, I'm going to say, if you're not already moving, get moving. You know, exercise is so key mentally, physically, boosting that immune system, lowering your stress, improving your sleep. We got to do it. Also, you know, keep moving forward. There's a great saying I heard and I continue to repeat it probably daily. So what, now what, right? Things are going to happen. Things are going to come along, but we just can't let that slow us down. You got to keep moving forward. And then happiness, you pursue your happiness, find your passion, because once you do it, it bleeds out onto others. I'll testify to that one, you know, finding fitness as my passion. I feel like I'm able to touch so many people using that.
Awesome. Happiness, that's a key one. I wish, you know, that's a big one, right? I think that's half the battle. What do we find happiness in? Where we find our joy and our passion? So very good. Now, I will say before we wrap up, there is time. You still can do another fitness competition. So let us know when you're back on the circuit, because we, you know, we definitely want to support you and cheer you on and, you know, see you successful. So let us know when you start back competing.
I will do that. I'll have to get my right hand man. Think together. Think you the buddy.
Oh, very good. So as we wrap up, tell us where to find you. Give us your social medias, give us your websites, tell us how we can take advantage of D1 facility. Tell us how to find you, give us your information.
Oh, absolutely. So super simple. My IG name, Melissa, MELISSA.MCKEE. Email me for D1, melissa.mckee@d1training.com. And come check us out right on the corner of Pyramid and McCarran. We love to meet you.
And if we have people visiting to Reno, are they able to come in, get a day pass and work out, or how does that work?
We actually just had a girlfriend this morning from Vegas.
Okay.
One of our members. It's a pleasure having her. So.
Very good. So if you're in Reno, or if you're visiting Reno, if you want to check out the facility, definitely do so. And as we wrap up, first, I want to thank Melissa, or I always refer to her as Coach Melissa, for joining us today. Just telling us a little bit more about D1 training facility, some of the things that she's doing there as a general manager, and really excited to see how they are going to continue to impact and help athletes in the local Reno community continue to move and transform to the next level within their athletic career. And I definitely appreciate some of the gems she dropped in terms of just let's continue to move forward and stay moving, and let's just find and working within our passion. So Melissa, Coach Melissa, thank you for joining us today, giving us some nuggets. And I think, you know, as we think about how we continue to shift our mindset, we'll take a lot from today's conversation.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you having me on here. And it was a great opportunity to get the word out.
Very good. And to my audience, you know, obviously we've provided Coach Melissa's information, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And welcome to the new year. Thanks, Coach. All right.